Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Did you run into anybody this week that you were tempted to avoid? I did. I did on Sunday. And as I was trying to avoid them, I heard Dale's message ringing in my ears. God's good that way. You know, He puts us to the test. And we need to, that week, when that happens, take that step. Take the step to try to be friendly and reach out. And in whatever thing God speaks to you, I would encourage you in that. Satan loves to deal with yesterday. I found that in my own life. Sometimes he reminds me of past successes. I never understand how anybody could like Bruce Springsteen or call him the boss. He just sounds to me like a buzzsaw going through a knot in a piece of wood when he sings it. Him and Rod Stewart. And yet I love Huey Lewis, whose voice is the same way. I don't get that. But Bruce Springsteen has a song called Glory Days. If you've never heard it, and you can force yourself to sit through it once, it talks about people who are sitting together when they're older, and they're reminiscing about glory days. When they were younger. That's one of Bruce Springsteen's song is one of the reasons I just can't bring myself to go to a class reunion. You know, don't we do that sometimes? We look back at our successes in the past, sometimes because we're not succeeding today. So we look back and we rest on the laurels of the past and we take pride on those things. Some people, it discourages them. Sometimes we look back at the past in other ways. Sometimes we are so bound up with yesterday's failures. We're so bound up with all of the hurts, all of the mistakes, all of the unfairness, all of the negative circumstances, all the people who hurt me, all the people who were unfair to me, and we never get to move forward. And I experience anxiety because I am so caught up in yesterday that yesterday still controls today. The people that I don't want controlling my life, the people who made my life miserable, end up controlling me because I let them, because I look at yesterday, and that's exactly what Satan wants to do with us. Sometimes Satan directs our attention to the future, right? Sometimes he gets us to dream big and to imagine successes and to set up unrealistic hopes that all come crashing down when we actually have to deal with reality. The Bible calls that boasting in tomorrow, and we're told not to do it. Or sometimes we worry about the future because it's unknown. We start to think about negative things happening. Some of us look at the financial situation right now. We look at jobs that aren't there. We look at jobs that are gone from our country. We start to say, wait a minute, what is coming in my future? Is there going to be Social Security when I get there? Will the money that I saved up be there? How am I going to live? Those are very real questions to a lot of us. We never had to had to deal with that before, and all of a sudden we're looking at that, and we start to wonder where is the present administration taking us? I might get hurt, and my life might be miserable. Satan loves to deal with the future. Satan loves to get our eyes on the past. Satan loves to get our eyes on the future. God deals with today. And I want to share just a bunch of verses along those lines. The Lord's focus seems to be so much on our walking with Him today. I think sometimes we don't do that, and it leads to worry and anxiety and depression and fear because we don't deal with today. We spend all of our time thinking about yesterday or tomorrow. I have you in Exodus chapter 16. We're going to start with a real tangible example. Do you remember when the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness? This is before they've even arrived at Mount Sinai. And the people are complaining because they don't have anything to eat. And they start saying to Moses, what did you take us out of Egypt for? There at least we had leeks and garlic and onion and bad breath. No, that's not in the text. But you know what they were looking for? They were looking for savory spices. They didn't want to eat granola. They didn't want to eat trail mix and trail food and the stuff that you have to eat for survival. And they were getting really, really upset. And they started to forget how horrible bondage was. And they said, we'd rather be in bondage with the security that comes there in bondage just because we have tasty food, rather than being free and having to take risks and live responsibly and go from day to day. And they start complaining to Moses about those types of things, and they complain about food. So God provides for them manna. Now, do you know what manna means in Hebrew? It means, what is it? Ma means what, and na means please, tell me. What is it? Manna. Manna. And there's this bread that falls every day. And he tells them, look at Exodus chapter 16. He tells them in verse 19, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they didn't listen to Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. Do you know what that means? That means that every day they had to gather manna, bread, for today. They weren't allowed to gather for tomorrow. They weren't allowed to save it up. They just had to do today's work for today. That made me think of the prayer of Jesus in the New Testament. How very tangible. Sometimes we think spirituality is about all of these ethereal, emotional things, but it can also get down to very basic things like, give us this day our daily bread. When was the last time you thought about daily bread? We buy weekly groceries, right? Or some people buy monthly and stock it up in a freezer. We're not used to thinking about day by day, but God says, I want you to trust me every single day for today's food. God thinks about today. There's a hymn in your hymnal. We're going to sing it at communion time, but I want to sing for you. You don't mind if your pastor sings to you. It's number 56 in the hymnal. It's called Day by Day. It's an old Swedish hymn, and it goes like this. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, there's no cause for worry or for fear. What's my Father's wise bestowment? He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure, that's our Father in heaven, gives to each day what he deems best, lovingly. Lovingly, he gives its part of pain and pleasure. And it's its, I-T-S, no apostrophe. This drives me nuts about people on the internet. and texting. They don't use apostrophes and they don't distinguish between its and its. IT apostrophe S is it is. ITS means its, that which belongs to it. What is the it referent? The day, lovingly, that day's part of pain and pleasure. He mingles toil with peace and rest. I love that song. Because it tells me that when I come to a day, God is working within that day. God never sleeps. God is always dealing with us in some way, shape, or form. He is molding our day. He's interacting with us in our day. And the things that come to me during my day have been put there by God. Not just the good things, but each day has its own part of pain and toil. I'd like you to go with me to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. This is a book, I don't know if we have ever turned to the book of Lamentations in all of the 25 years I've been here. It's in the tucked away in the prophets. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And then tucked between Jeremiah and Ezekiel is this tiny little book of just a few chapters called Lamentations. A lamentation is when you lament or mourn. You cry. And this is a poem by the prophet Jeremiah. That's why it's tucked in right behind Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived during the time when Jerusalem fell in 586 BC. He preached to the nation of Judah to repent. He begged them to repent. He wept in tears over the king's refusal to listen to him and repent. He was put in prison for calling them to repentance. And they wouldn't listen to him. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came with all of his armies and wiped out the city. I want you to recall what it looked like when the Twin Towers went down with the smoke and the fire and the dust. That's what it looks like when a city falls. Nebuchadnezzar came in there with his armies and started knocking down walls. If you've ever done any kind of work in your house, I have an old house with plaster walls. And one of the ugly things is the minute you start tearing plaster off, man, there's dust everywhere. It just floats in the air. You can't see. Dust, and if you burn something, there's fire and smoke and ugly smells. Jeremiah sat outside of the city and he watched his home city. He watched the holy city. He watched God's holy temple, the place where all the Jews believed that God dwelt. He watched it be torn down stone by stone. And he wrote the book of Lamentations as a lament over God's holy city. And yet there are moments in this book where he gives hope and promise. I want you to look at one of those. It's Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. It's through the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. God's mercies are new every morning. Do you know why? They are new every morning because every day has only enough mercy to last for today. Because God's interested in dealing with today. That's why when we look at yesterday or tomorrow, and we tend to grow anxious, or to despair, or to lose hope, it's because we are trying to deal with tomorrow on today's resources. And God says, I'm not giving you tomorrow's resources today, I'm giving you today's resources today. Tomorrow's mercies will be new and fresh. Today's mercies are for today's troubles. And tomorrow there will be mercy to deal with tomorrow's troubles. You know, if you believe that and you have worries about tomorrow, you can just put those away. You just put them away and deal with today. I think sometimes what happens to us is we just don't believe that simple truth. I'd like you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And look at verse 13. No temptation, no testing has overtaken you except that which is common to man. You think you have something unique going on in your life? I know a number of years ago we had a family, Aaron and Amy Swavely, who lost a little girl, Alicia. And I remember sitting down with Aaron and Amy in their living room and pointing them to this verse because they were hurting really bad. And I really hated to share this verse. But people who are in their situation need to hear this. There is no test, there is no temptation which has overtaken you except that which is common to man. As horrible as it is to lose a child, there are lots of people who lose children. That was really hard to say to them as a shepherd. And yet, it helped them to put a picture frame around it and say, you know what? That's true. God has brought this thing, this ugly thing, into our lives. And yet, we're not alone in this. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Do you know what that's really saying? If God makes the way to escape, what He's really enabling me to do is to have mercy and grace to deal with today. I don't have to worry about escaping tomorrow. I have to worry about that part of the escape which takes place today. And it says that God is faithful. God is not going to hang me out there to dry. God is not going to put more in my path than I can deal with. Yes, there may be things to deal with tomorrow. Deal with them tomorrow. But today, He gives grace and mercy and patiently gives me the strength to deal with what I must deal with today. Sometimes what happens to us is we get weighed down by the whole large picture and we don't deal with today. I know the times that I've gotten depressed. It always feels, and if you've ever been depressed, you know what it's like. Did you ever have it where it just seems like there are so many things that have gone wrong and so many things that could possibly go wrong? It starts to become like this huge, gray, overcast cloud. Have you ever been up in a plane and seen a storm, like getting above it? I remember I was only ever in a plane two times, I think. And one time I was heading to Houston, Texas on the way to Chuuk, and there was a storm that day below as it was overcast and gray. And that storm stretched. I couldn't believe the size of the storm. It stretched from Pennsylvania all the way down almost to Houston. That's a big cloud. And I felt depressed already with big clouds like that, where it just seemed so big, and it's just like everything's up there. And it all becomes this one big, ugly blob. Yesterday, tomorrow. And yet I found when I say, okay, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I can't do anything about what happened yesterday. I can only deal with today. All of a sudden, that cloud starts to get broken down into individual raindrops. And I can handle a raindrop. I can't handle the whole cloud. And God doesn't ask me to. He doesn't ask you to. We think we have to. We get discouraged. We get anxiety because we're weighing the cloud. Break it down. Today, I must deal with today. And God is faithful to make a way of escape. He won't tempt me above what I am able. He gives me today's tests today. And He gives me the strength to deal with today's test today. I'd like you to go with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. And look at verse 14. These Christians were being persecuted for their faith. And I want you to look at what the Apostle Peter tells them. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, what? Happy are you. The Old King James and the New King James say blessed. That's the old English word, happy. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God, what? Rests, is resting on you. You know what he's saying there? He is saying that when the reproach comes, when the persecution comes, when the trial comes, that's when the Spirit rests. Now, you can't prepare for that. You can't say, okay, I'm going to get juiced up with the Holy Spirit in preparation for this test. I know I'm going to be tested tomorrow. No, it happens as you're there. When God brings the trial, when God allows the reproach, He gives the Spirit so that there is strength to deal with the reproach of that moment. I'd like you to go with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Verses 11 and 12. Where Jesus is telling the disciples that they must confess Him before men. And other men might not take that too well. And they might persecute you, He says. And look at verse 11. Now, in Luke chapter 12, verse 11. When they bring you to the synagogues and the magistrates and the authorities, do not worry. Do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you. What's the next phrase? In that same hour, in that very hour, what you ought to say. You know, I think sometimes we read over that real quickly and we talk about, you know, the Spirit of God has to teach me what to say. And we miss that simple prepositional phrase, in that very hour. Today. That's why He says, look, don't you worry about what you're going to say. And that's what we do. Right? Have you ever done that? Oh, well, I'm going to have to deal with this person or this problem. So you imagine the conversation. Did you ever do that? I'm going to say this, and then they're going to say that, and then I'm going to retort with this, and they're going to say that, and then I'm going to be really witty, and I'm going to stick it to them, and I'm going to say, and we plan what we're going to say. Because we think that we'll be able to come up with the stuff to be able to say to save ourselves from the situation. Now, He's not talking about every conversation. He's talking here about persecution. And He says, I don't want you to worry about it. I'm promising you that persecution is going to come. I promise you trials are going to come. I promise you that people are not going to like the idea that you're a Christian. I promise you that they're not going to like the way you live. They're not going to like the way you behave. They're not going to like your standards. They're not going to like what you have to share with them. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You just be faithful. And when the time comes to answer in that hour, I will give you what to say. Because God deals with today. One more passage in closing. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 31, therefore do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? He's just talked about not worrying because God takes care of the flowers, doesn't He? He gives them clothes. God takes care of the birds. They always have food. He takes care of them. Aren't you of more value than the flowers or the grass in the field that withers? Aren't you more value than a sparrow that falls? You're a human being. You're why God created the world. You're created in His image. He has fellowship with you. You're not just a thing. You're a person. You're a soul. You're like Him. He cares about you. Why aren't we worrying about what we're going to eat or drink or what we're going to wear? He says, after all these things the Gentiles seek, the nations that don't know God, they build their lives around that. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, Jesus said it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Deal with today. Don't build your today on yesterday. Build your today on today. Every day is fresh with no mistakes, is a line from Anne of Green Gables. I love that line because it is so much like God. That's how he is. He doesn't look at yesterday and hold it against you and say, oh, okay, now today the other shoe's going to drop. Every day his mercies are new. We just have a really hard time believing that. We're the ones that carry the burdens from yesterday. We're the ones that worry about tomorrow. God's not worried about it. So if you have something that is worrying you, if you have something that's causing you anxiety, I'm not saying we shouldn't make plans, but you can make all the plans in the world and God can change them in a moment. How many of you last summer thought we were going to be dealing with almost a depression? How many of you thought you were going to lose half of your savings? I didn't. Hey, we were cruising along. United States of America. Yes, sir, boy. Greatest country in the world. What do we have to worry about? And then bang! September hit in a day! It's kind of been fun mentoring Dale. We just take time every day and talk about different aspects of ministry. Kind of a stream of consciousness thing. He asks questions and I answer them and then we talk about whatever comes up. And one of the things that I shared with him was, I said, you know, some churches build themselves or try to build themselves like a company, like a corporation. That's how our generation looks at things. Everything's the business plan. And when we have new folks come in here, they say, well, Pastor, what's your 5-year plan? I don't have a 5-year plan. I have a today plan. Because I have found that when I make plans, there are so many times God just sticks his little finger in there and just that little finger can mess things up so badly. And you understand when I say mess things up, I mean bless. Isn't that true? How many times have you made gone to all the work and made all the plans and then he changes one little detail and it just steers the whole thing this way? I love that. I love that about God because he teaches me to trust in him. And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to look for things to do, but you know, I don't know who's going to be here in 5 years. I don't know who's going to be here tomorrow. I only know who's here today. And I only know what people I have to minister to today. So I let today take care of today. And God always seems to provide. And I'm sure you have found that in your own lives. So let's not worry about tomorrow. And let's not worry about the past. That's hard to say, especially when you look at the circumstances in our society. There's plenty that people are worrying about. But Christians, we really do have the promise that today's troubles are for today and today's grace is for today. I think part of saving faith is the assurance that I will have faith tomorrow, but I don't need to have tomorrow's faith tomorrow. I only need to have today's faith today. So I want to encourage you in that this morning. As we come to the Lord's table, sometimes what happens to us is the sins of our past come back to haunt us. And Satan gets us thinking about the past. Satan gets us thinking about the places that we failed. And what we need to remember today, is that this simple truth is just wonderfully true. And that is that Christ died for our sins and they are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. All right? I do not need to carry the burden of yesterday. And you might say, but I know how I am, and I know I have this pattern of sin, and I know I'm going to fail tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. And you know what? When tomorrow comes, God's grace will be there for tomorrow. The issue is not yesterday or tomorrow. The issue is, where are you today? You know, you can't repent yesterday, and you can't repent tomorrow. You repent today. And if there are places where you fall short, Please don't say, I am not worthy of taking communion. You know, God wants you to live in today. And when you take a piece of bread and that little cup of grape juice, you are forcing your mind and your soul and even your body, you're forcing yourself to remember, Christ died for my sins. I am forgiven. I think sometimes we just get comfortable holding on to the sin. So I want to encourage you to look at this as an opportunity to change today, even if it's just a small step, and accept God's grace afresh again. That is the joy of being a Christian. Remind yourself that it's not about your good works. It's not about your wonderful past. It's not about the great thing you're going to become in the future. It's not about you at all. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to. That's the humbling thing about communion. So I would call you to that. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, this celebration is not really for you, but you can become a Christian today, in a moment. It's a matter of trusting Christ. It's a matter of looking at yourself and saying, boy, I know I've really screwed up. You probably have screwed up a lot more than you even realize. There are things that you have done that are offensive to God that you don't even know about. We all have things like that. And God is willing to wipe away all of our sins. If we simply own our own sin and confess to Him, acknowledge what we know, and He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a wonderful promise. And then He gives mercy and forgiveness and grace every single day. Every day is new. Mercies are new. And He lets us live today. I'd call you to Him, to just believe there in your seat and then take a piece of bread and a cup of grape juice and present your faith to your own soul and to the Lord. Remember that the body of Christ was broken, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the forgiveness of your sins.